We do have a lot. Let's approach God who does hear us because he loves us. Holy Father, we thank you again. We thank you for supplying everything we need, Lord Jesus. Your love washes us and cleanses us through the power of your Spirit and your blood. We love you, Lord, and we're able to come before you to intercede for these people because we know you care and we know you hear us. So we lift up again Travis before you, who again is sick. Father, we just ask that you would just strengthen his immune system. Help him, Lord, whatever it is that constantly gets him sick. Heal him even now, Lord, as we speak and send these requests up to your throne of mercy and grace. And also, Lord, we just lift up Jennifer, who had an operation on her brain, and we asked for healing, quick healing, Lord, that nothing is affected in her brain, that she's able to just be who she was before. And I don't know the ins and outs of this, Father, but you can heal everything. You were the one who created the brain. Lord, we bring her up and we ask for more of your mercy and healing on her. And also, Lord Jesus, for the school sector that Margie goes to, Lord Jesus, there was a student there. Through social media, he said he's going to shoot up the school. So, Father, right now we ask that you rebuke any demonic influences in that boy, that you put a hedge of protection upon that school, that you protect Margie and everyone who's there, Father. Rebuke the enemy. Let the power of your Spirit encompass that place, Father, and also penetrate the heart of that boy. Lord, do what needs to be done to stop this. Even if he has to go to prison, Father, place him in there and stop what he wants to do. Show him your love and grace. And Father, he's like this because something must have happened to him, some type of pain, something that happened to him that he hates everyone. So Lord Jesus, heal his heart, heal his broken heart, bring deliverance and salvation to him. Even now, Father, just come mightily upon him and everyone there, Lord. So we bring him up and we ask that you just bind anything and stop the enemy. Do not grant his request, Father. Lord Jesus, you are there. You are the mediator for us, Father. We plead, Lord, for the safety of all these people and the deliverance of this boy. And also for Zoe, who needs a healing. Lord, the doctor found in the left axis a deviation in her heart. Lord, you know the ins and outs of that. We ask that you just heal her heart. You made it, Father. You can do all things. We lift her up knowing that you can do more than we even ask. We ask for the salvation in that. And if you choose to use doctors or whatever, Father, and if she knows you, let her be glorified in her as she comes, Lord, and ministers your great grace, Lord. Just give her mercy and grace and everything she needs, but heal her also, Father. And we also lift up Mark when he gets the results of the biopsy on Friday, Lord. And I don't know Friday past, don't know where the results are, but we ask, Father, that everything went good. And if it didn't, Lord, that you cause it to be good again, Lord, because you hear us. And we have faith that when we bring our requests to you, you grant our petitions. And also for Anthony Jacobs, Lord Jesus. And he has an upcoming procedure. And I help the doctors, Lord, to reduce the inflammation and the bleeding that is very intense. Lord, you don't need the doctors. But we know sometimes, Father, because we may lack faith, that you use doctors and you work through them. But I would ask even right now, Lord, if we do unbelieve, help our unbelief. And we lift him up to you, Father, even him. Let him know the power of your deliverance and salvation, that he can be healed, Lord, not through the doctors, but through you. And also for Rosie, who needs healing as well, and she's diagnosed with breast cancer. We ask the same thing, Lord Jesus, and also, Father, that you would comfort her and let her know that you are the God that heals. Make yourself truly known to her and be glorified by the miracle that you give her, that all may see that you are the one and only true living God. Father, and also for submitted by Paul, for Dana, Lord. It's an unborn child, and the heart rate has slowed. Lord Jesus, and I'm going to put myself before you because I know how that is with my child, Lord Jesus. You told me, as my son was dying in the womb, to praise you, because through praise we have victory. And it was, Lord, there was victory and everything was good. So right now, Father, we praise you for what you are going to do, how you've healed that heart, and how we have the boldness and confidence in you to claim that, because it is in your promises and we do believe that you can. So we praise you even now and glorify you for what you have done in this child and how you have fixed that heart in this little one. And also for Gloria, and she's having some health issues. We don't know, you do. We praise you, God, that you are going to make everything well, Father, whatever is according to your will for your glory. And also for Laura, who needs healing. She has an infection, Father, and there's other issues, but I can't see it. You can. We lift her up again, knowing that you're the God that heals, and we bring her before your throne of grace. And also here for Candy, she's going, I think it's her sister Candy, who needs healing, Lord, through the chemotherapy. We lift her up again, Father. We know that man has caused so many issues, Lord, through this cancer, through the food, through the air, whatever the case may be, but you can heal, Lord. So I ask that you restore her body. You even restore the food that she eats, Lord, so that it heals her. Your Holy Spirit come upon her, and we know that she knows you, Lord Jesus. She is open to whatever your will is. And if this does not glorify you, if it does not bring glory to you, Father, take it away, Lord, and just heal her of that cancer. But be glorified in her life. Also, Lord, for our brother Tom, we thank you for him. Even him being here, Lord, we praise your holy name, Lord Jesus, for that. We thank you, Father. We thank you that you are faithful. He is here fellowshipping again. We thank you for Kat and him, that you sustained him through all this, Lord, and your mercies are new and your grace is for them and us every day. So we give you praise for that, Lord Jesus. And Candace and Kelsey, Father, they need healing in the hospital. One has a mental issue. Father, we don't know if this is demonic or not, or through medications or whatever. And if it is demonic, Lord, we just ask in your name, Christ, that you rebuke the enemy and that you set her free in Jesus' name from that, whatever it may be. And if it's medications or whatever it is, Lord, that you bring the healing touch there and you show the doctors what the issue is. And for Kelsey, who has a cyst, Lord, in her neck, again, you can take that away. Show yourself true to your people, Father, and get rid of that so the specialists may see you are the one and true living God, Lord. Be glorified in that and do a mighty work in her life that people can praise you. And also, Lord, for Daryl, and he has to pass, Lord, a 6-millimeter kidney stone. 6-millimeter is huge. 5-millimeter is the one that they say it's okay. But this is a tough one, Lord. You can shrink that. We ask even right now as we bring before you this request that it's shrinking in Jesus' name and that you do your will in his life, Father. But if for whatever reason that you see fit, that you would allow him to go through this, that you give him the strength and endurance that he needs through you, Lord, you know you can strengthen him, Father. But again, we bring him before you for a healing touch. And again, be glorified that everyone can see that you are the God that heals. And Lord, there's a sewing shop downtown, and there's a child of 13 years old who is violent and abusive, and he's sexually abused family members, children. Lord Jesus, this is a heinous crime, and we can easily just want to, in every way, hate this boy. But we lift him up because something must have happened to him to be that way, Father. And Lord, we just ask again in your name, Jesus, that you would rebuke the enemy, bring deliverance to him from any demonic oppression that has caused him to be this way, Lord Jesus. Deliver him, restore his soul, set him free because he is a captive, Father, by the enemy, Satan. Bring your mercy, your salvation through the power of your Spirit and your people who pray for this, Lord. We lift up our voices to him. Bring him deliverance. And for the children, Father, heal their hearts. Do not let the enemy come into them and encompass their lives, and even set in them some type of demonic presence. Lord, put your hedge of protection of them. Bring your Spirit, bring your love, your compassion, and bring your people around them, Father, to help out in every way you see fit. So we lift them up right now, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for what you're going to do. And Lord, for our brother Richard, who's not here, he hurt his leg. He fell down on work when they let him go out early, Lord, and he's a prayer warrior. He is your servant. He says amen to everything. So we ask for a speedy recovery for our brother, Lord. And we say with him, amen, Lord Jesus. And Lord, also for Malachi, who has strep throat, Father Jesus, we lift him up before you. And we ask, Lord, that you would just cleanse him of that bacteria in his throat, Lord Jesus. And that you would even give the family insight, Lord, into what may be causing these illnesses, Father Jesus. Heal him steadily, Lord. Heal your child, Lord. He is you. And your word says that you should suffer the children to come to before you because such is the kingdom. So we bring them before you, your child, and ask a speedy healing, even right now, Lord Jesus. We thank you for hearing us. We praise your name. And last, Father, we just want to give you a praise report. We praise you always, Father. We want to give you a praise report And it's in a, Margie went to the kidney doctor, and there is no kidney disease, just a small cyst or cyst. I don't even know how to pronounce that. But Lord Jesus, that's you working, Father, and shrinking that into this. So we give you praise, honor, and glory for everything you do in our lives. We thank you so much that you heard our request, and we can come before you, our Abba Father. We love you so much, God. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name, we pray this and honor you today. Amen. All right, everyone, I want you to open your Bibles, please. Does anyone need a Bible? If you do, lift up a hand, and Brother Tim right here will give it to you. There it is. And when you get your Bibles, open up to Matthew 21:18. So, as you can tell, I'm not Pastor Tim. He's taking a well-deserved break. So we're going to depart right now from the book of Philippians, and we're going to discuss a topic right now, one that we say we are familiar with, and we will all say to that, amen. But we'll see how much of the amen we see after we get through this. So it's Matthew 21:18-22. Matthew 21. All right. You guys ready? Give you a little bit more time. As you're looking, I'm going to tell you what the topic is. The topic is faith right now. Or rather, what is faith and why do we need it? And we all said an amen to that one, didn't we? We have faith. We're Christians. We know. We believe. So we're going to test our faith right now to see if we are practicing what we believe or have as much faith as we say we do. So you guys are there, right? All right. So starting from Matthew 21:18. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, this is Jesus, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves. And he said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." Immediately, the fig tree withered away. And if you look at the other Gospels, the reason is because it wasn't in season for it to grow. And there's a reason Jesus does everything. You got to remember that. So keep that in your mind. It goes on in verse 20 to say, "And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, 'How did the fig tree wither away so soon?' So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, "Be removed and be cast into the sea," it will be done to you. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive.'" And that's a powerful statement said right there. And the word mountain here, it could be a large mountain. More than likely, it was a hill. And a hill is pretty big because Jesus is around there. He could have been pointing to a mountain or a hill. But I'm going to ask a question. And if anyone has done this, raise your hand. Who's moved a mountain? Ah, sister back there. Let's hear your mountain.
Now, if there's any problem that you have, you bring it to God.
Okay. But have you literally moved a mountain? Because in this context, Jesus is saying, you not only can kill this fig tree, but you can move. See that mountain right there? You can move it. So who has physically, by the word, did what Jesus said? Who's had that faith? And I'm with you right now. Don't think that I'm up here. I have the faith to move a mountain. I mean, this word is for all of us. And, you know, I said to the Lord, "What do you want me to teach, Lord? What do you want us to know?" Faith. "Lord, I cannot teach on something that I really don't grasp." And he said, "Don't worry about that. I'm going to show you what you need to do, what we all need to do." So none of us have moved mountains, right? But the scripture tells us, Jesus tells us, even in Matthew 17, that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you could move mountains. So clearly it's safe to say we don't have faith even too small to a mustard seed, right? Now let's take it back to what I said. Hey, all of you here, who has faith? Amen, we all said. Now it's more like a, hey, amen? Amen? Huh? Because we don't move a mountain. And if Jesus says it, that's literally, he's saying, you could move this tangible thing. Hey, you, get out of here. But we know we haven't. All right? So, the Bible talks about faith from its beginning and its end, right? And because of that, in our what we just said, you think we would have a better understanding of it. But more often than not, It is doubt that penetrates our understanding. And that's a fact. We all struggle. We understand doubt more than it is faith. And Jesus said, again, mustard seed. That's all you need is a mustard seed. But okay, truth, we don't have that right now. We do have faith. And we're going to talk about that. It's not like we're without faith. But we're getting to the point, why can't we move mountains? So we're going to look at what is faith. Now, we're going to go through a checklist to check ourselves to see if we can check off all these things that I'm going to bring to you. So here's what faith is. Hebrews 11:1 says, and these scriptures are going to be familiar to us. We've probably heard them dozens of times, if not more. It says, Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Wow, that makes it simple for me to understand. I have never understood that scripture as many times as I can read it. It sounds a bit confusing, doesn't it? To some of you, amen or no amen? You agree? It does, right? So let's try this again. Faith is the realization of things hoped for, the confidence of things not seen. Well, that's getting a little bit easier. Okay, I'm understanding. Let's get to the root of it a little bit more. What that is saying, it's a belief in something that has not been proven or fully proven yet. Faith, belief, and trust equals confidence. The original Greek word means to anticipate or expect something to be done. Here's a good example. Going on my Amazon, I'm ordering first day delivery. It's going to be here, and I'm looking forward to it. And my expressions show that. I'm like, yes, it's coming. If it doesn't come, what happens? My faith drops, and what's going on? Something's not right. I'm shaking. But I want to show you a tangible, physical expression of faith. So in this, it's going to be Congregation Participation Day. Everyone's all getting nervous. Who's he going to pick or whatever? So in this, let me think. I'm going to look at Brother Arnell. Come on down. You're the next contestant on Is Your Faith Right? Dun-dun-dun. Come on down, buddy. Come on down. Dun-dun-dun. Dun-dun-dun. Right here where I am. Right here. All right. Come on, brother. Sharon, you're the next contestant on on Is Your Faith Right? Dun-dun-dun. Just let's pretend. Yay. Come on down here. Ooh, here they are. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. See, now I'm not up here by myself. You guys make me feel comfortable. Wrong show. All right. So we talked about it. It's the belief in something that has not been proven yet, right? So we're going to do an exercise that you guys probably know. And I want to show you this. Can you put this, we'll get into the Old Testament on Wednesdays. Can you put this mic on, please, Terry? And there it is. All right. So, pare, friend, brother, I want you to stand right here. Turn around. And sister, stand right over here, please. All right. Take this mic and just stand back low. We're going to do an exercise of trust, faith. Oh, trust, yes. So what I need you to do is you're going to close your eyes
and you're going to
fall backwards. Now look at me first. You're not going to do this. Okay? You're going to fall backwards.
Bend your knees. Okay? Just go straight back.
Well, you know, the Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. And if he gave me this, I should be able to catch him. All right. Now,
I don't think I can do it.
You can do it.
You can do it.
You can do it. You can do it. You can do it, brother.
Do you want me to do it?
No, it doesn't work that way. Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you an option. Because clearly the brother's faith isn't all there. Right? He's proven it.
Not so, him.
If I'm going to give you one more chance to back out. If you can't,
no.
Walter will be the guy.
Absolutely.
I'll give you the chance, sir. You can have door number one. What do you want to do? Do you trust me?
No, I'm here already.
Okay, you trust me. Good. Now, Sharon, when I give you the signal, which is just a nod, you are going to tell our brother Arnell to fall backwards.
Okay.
Okay? You got to close your eyes when I give you the signal, okay? Lord, help me. All right.
Ready? No.
Fall back.
I caught him. Hey, whoa. We're not done yet. Praise God. So the brother trusted me and I caught him. Now, in the beginning, your faith was a little hesitant, right? But he was like, I don't know. Maybe he had to think. He said, wait a second. I know David enough. I trust him enough that if he's going to call me, he looked through this, he's going to do it. Okay, going back to the substance of things are not seen. You're believing it. So now we're going to reverse the role. Sharon, you're going to catch Arnell.
Sure I am.
Okay? You ready, Arnell?
Are you ready?
You ready? Okay, I'm just kidding. Now, I did that to show, okay, man, I don't know about this, to show possibly he's thinking, well, let me think. David being a man, he's stronger, could be in his mind.
Yeah.
He's going to catch me.
No, he just came out of, she was sick too.
Sharon is sick, so, oh, man. But wait a second, David caught me, and maybe he will be back there or not. But the point is, there's a different level of faith. And you see what happened there. Even with me, it took a little bit of while. You have to think about it. Because the first thing is, you're fearful or whatever. But there is an expression of faith being worked out. What is it again? Oh, you can go now. Thank you very much. Prizes for all.
Stay here all day.
Thanks, guys. Thanks so much. Now, we're going to read that scripture again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Oh, Lord, I hope he catches me. The evidence of things not seen. I do not even know if he's back there. Does it make sense now? All right. So there's the physical representation. So we know what faith is, right? Anyone having difficulty understanding what faith is? Faith is something that has not been proven yet, that you can't see. We walk by faith, not by sight, right? So that's what faith is. Now we don't have the faith yet to move mountains. We're going back to that. The whole point is there truly a faith that you can move mountains? And how do we get that faith? Well, we're going to read Romans, and you don't have to go there because it might take you too long, and I didn't have time to put it on the screen. But Romans 10, 14, 17 says, and these scriptures should be familiar to you. How then shall they call on him, being Jesus, in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Hey, guess what? That's me. Guess who else that is? That's right. Go and preach the gospel. All of us got to do that, right? So how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Now, not everyone's going to believe it. And he goes on to verse 17, and here it comes. How do we get faith? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing is by the word of God. Amen. So if I ask anyone here, how did you get saved? And there are some people who Jesus came to them, and they were saved. Others, they open the Bible. Someone came to them and said, hey, brother, do you know Jesus? I'm looking at you and making you nervous right now, right? Oh, no, he's looking at me. Now, who is this guy? Well, let me tell you about him. All right, and there it was. Either way, because Christ is the Word, whether he appeared to people in the Middle East, which he did, to a lot of ISIS people, and they became Christians, or he brings his servants, you're hearing the Word, or you open your Bible, you hear it. Your faith came by the Word. And that's how we're able to understand who God is. So you read the word. The more you read it, you grow in that, right? That's what he says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing is by the word. Who is the word? It's Christ. And we listen to him. We hear him in the Bible. And faith comes through grace, the grace of God. So what do I mean by that? Romans 12:3 says, for I say, through the grace given to me, and this is Paul talking, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of grace. Now, in the broader context here, he's talking about spiritual gifts. But in the spiritual gifts, faith is mentioned. 1 Corinthians, in the gifts, it says, word of wisdom, spirit of truth, through the Holy Spirit, word of knowledge, faith, healings, works of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, meaning languages and angelic tongues, interpretation of tongues. Faith is a gift also that God gives us. He gives us a measure. So how does that measure come to us? And when you think about that, when someone has come to you and told you about the truth of the gospel, something stirred up into you. The Holy Spirit right there is talking to you. And you're going, someone's talking to you, you may have not believed before, maybe you have, and you feel a stirring in you. Right? And the Holy Spirit leads us to all truth, the Bible tells us. So you hear this, it affects you, and now you have the decision. God, or is this man true? Is Jesus really the Messiah? I don't know, it makes sense. Something in me is enlightened a little bit. Holy Spirit's there, listen, what this guy's saying is true. Listen, now I'm going to give you the option to accept or not. This is the grace I'm giving you. I sent my person to you. Now if you do, don't worry about it. I'll give you the measure of faith to believe and move on. And then an instant, here it is. You know what? I am going to believe. I don't really understand. Here's your measure of faith. Sometimes you feel it, and you're transformed instantly. Sometimes it takes time. The Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. But what happens to that seed of faith if you mature it? You work it out, and we're going to talk about that. So there it is right there. You're given the measure of faith when you said, I believe. Here's the grace. We're going to talk about that too. And now here's the faith. And you move forward in that. And God, this is a side note, it just occurred to me, that God not only gave us that gift, but he gave us so many gifts. And he gave us first what he did. He gave us this planet, right? Then he gave us life. And then he gave us work. People may be going, Well, work was actually a gift and a blessing before the curse. We sweat now, but before, the Lord said, hey, Adam, take care of this garden, tend it, work it. It was a blessing. It was great. He was probably like, I love doing this stuff. Not anymore. So he gave us all that. Then he gave Adam woman. Women have children, and we continue to have a blessing. We are extremely blessed in America to the point where we are spoiled Christians. We truly are. We don't know half of the sufferings that happens to Christians around the world. Losing their children, beheaded, take their property taken away, tortured, all that stuff. All you got to do is log on to Voice of the Martyrs and you'll see that. But we don't realize that because we are so blessed here. And the Bible tells us, you who are rich, even our poor are rich. The example is sometimes when I go out and give food to homeless people, they're never really skinny or nothing like that. I give them food and water and they're like, can I have a soda? No, I don't want this. I'm like, huh? All right, well, you're in America. You're blessed. So even our poor are spoiled. And it's true. We who are rich should help those who don't have, our brothers and sisters who struggle around the world. So he's given us so many gifts, and we need to remember that. He's given us so much. Now, we're going to recap. Remember, we're checking a list? So the first one is, how do we get faith? And we remember what it said, faith comes through by hearing, and hearing is through what?
The word of God.
The living word of Jesus Christ, who is the word. We're good so far. Check it off. Check it. Everyone ready? Check. It's good. So we're doing pretty good. We got some faith going on here. We're getting closer to the mountains. Maybe something's wrong with the scripture or us. I don't know. Who knows? Because we checked that one, right? All right. So how do we get it? We know. Through the living word. Why do we need it? And again, we can say in our minds, oh, I know why I need it. It's obvious. But then we still can't move mountains. So something's lacking. So we need it to be saved, obviously, right? Ephesians 2:8 tells us, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So it's grace working through faith. What does that really mean? We can read these scriptures so many times and never understand it. We take it for granted. Again, whether we want to hear it or not, we're spoiled Christians. And sometimes spoiled children, God loves us so much, we could take for granted the things he's telling us. The things he gives us to use, we take for granted, right? So what is that? So Jesus tells us, or the Gospels, well, Jesus was saying it in general because he's the word. He tells us about this Greek woman from Phoenicia. She runs to Jesus as they're walking with the disciples and she says, Lord, please help me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffers greatly. Please. Jesus doesn't say anything. They keep walking. She continues to follow, begging, please help. The disciples are like, man, could you send her away? She's really annoying. They were young, so give them a break, you know. Please, Lord, help me. Desperate, Jesus turns to her. And you know what it says if you do, but it's not what you think he's going to say. So he says, it's not right for me to give the children's bread to the dogs. But she says, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. That is so powerful. What do they mean? What does that mean right there? So she was saying, yes, Lord Jesus, the Messiah, you are the bread of life. You have come to speak truth to your chosen people. That's what you are. And because you are full of grace and truth, like the Gospel of John says, he was full of grace and truth, your grace pours upon the table and even falls to the ground. I know this, Lord. I know who you are. I believe. So let me pick up that grace that falls from your table. Let me have it, please, Lord, because I do believe and know who you are. And she was saying that. And the Lord gave it to her. Go. Even though it is not your time right now, you can do that. Because he went on to say, woman, great is your faith. It will be done for you. I believe, Lord Jesus, and that grace still pours out to unbelievers as well. How else will they come to know salvation? And we have a choice. We can take the bread, the grace from his table, or the one that falls on the floor. That's sometimes, you know, the word backsliding, you go up and down. But she understood that. Her faith, being a non-believer, a Gentile, a pagan, knew. And Jesus said, you can have it. That is how God is. He's so amazing. And we can say amen to that. So that's grace. Grace that God has worked through her faith. The grace is all around us. We can't see it, you know, right? We extend grace, it's all around us. But if we don't have the faith in Jesus, we are not able to partake in the grace. So you guys get that? Are you tracking? Grace working through faith. So that's what it was. And you see a great representation of that through this woman. So here's our recap again. All right. How do we get it? Through the living word. To be saved. We're saved. And if you don't know Jesus today, you know, we'll lift your hand later on or come see me afterwards and we'll do a simple prayer. Even in your own seat, if you don't. Grace working through faith. All right. So we know the word. We hear the word. We know where grace is working through faith because we've got the grace. We got it from the ground, and now we're taken from the table. We're growing. We know the Lord. Check your box. That's two. We're doing good. All right. So we get it by hearing. We need it to be saved. Grace through faith. And what else do we need faith for? Well, we need it to live. Hebrews 10:32-39 tells us, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just, here it comes, you guys know this, shall live by what? Faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Now in this scripture, he's referring to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. We must live by faith, and if we don't, God's soul doesn't take pleasure in him. But he goes on to say, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition, or rather destruction, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So we're doing pretty good, amen, because we believe, right? We confess Jesus as Lord and Savior right now. We've confessed him. And again, if you have not, we can talk. If you have questions about it, why you may not believe, why you're on the border, well, we can talk about that. There's also a spiritual battle going on. Remember we talked about the Holy Spirit nudging at your hearts. And we can talk about this afterwards. So there it is again. We shall live by faith, right? We walk by faith, not by sight. It's not easy to do. We obviously know that in our own lives, and we can do so many examples. Even if the Lord tells us, like this little cards right here, here's faith. Hey, guys, remember I said I want you to give these cards out to a person you see and tell them, I want you to come to church. Go to this website. That requires faith. Man, is this person going to come and smack me or yell at me or say, your Jesus is no one, I don't believe in him or whatever? That requires faith to step out and and suffer for Christ if that happens. But Scripture says we're supposed to show love. If you have Christ, you can do it. And we're all called to do it. Because we were once filthy and dirty, like the Scriptures tell us, but we were washed and cleansed. So we confess Him. So here's our recap again. Ready? We got faith because we hear the Word. We needed to be saved because it's working through faith, grace through faith, and it's to live. The just shall live by faith. So we can say that we have all these, right? We're just not of our righteousness, but of Christ. We know our shortcomings. We have all these things. We're doing pretty good. So the last one here, why do we need faith, is to please God. And all of these seem pretty simplistic, like they all come together. But again, we have not moved mountains yet. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please. We know it. Here's another scripture that we've heard many a times, but we have not really applied it to please Him, God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder, hold on to that word, of those who diligently. You want your reward? You need to diligently seek Him. And we are seeking Him today, right? Check it out. We're at church. Check your mark. You're full. You're good. We're done. Let's get out of here. Right? No. Okay, no, we can't. Now, here's the word meaning diligent. And it's categorized by a steady, earnest, energetic effort. A steady, continuing. You don't stop. You keep doing it. You're steady. You have a good pace, as a jogger would do, because he wants to get to the end. You don't want to go too fast, then he burns out. So you're steady. You're earnest. I really want to. I know I need it. I know I'm lacking. I'm real with you, God. That's why we get saved. Lord, you're true. You're right. The last one, energetic. I get to do this. I got to do it. I got to put myself in a state of mind where I'm going to do it. You know, before I used to be like, oh, I'm tired. I don't want to do it. You put on a face. Oh, it's lying. No, it's not. Because when you do those things, it becomes part of you. It's training. Energetic. And here's another one. Painstaking. Well, that don't sound too good. Get up. I don't want to get up, Lord. I'm going to give you my own example. I don't know, a week or so, praying this message, 2 o'clock in the morning. Lord tells me, the night watch, run. Yeah, well, I know that. I know you were saying, get up at night watch, you pray, whatever. But no. Then he goes, get up and pray to me and go look at Psalm 47, the one we read earlier, right? No, well, maybe it's not the Lord. Well, wait a second. Would the devil tell me to get up and read the Bible? Let me analyze that for a second. Oh, my flesh is tired. No. Okay, I'll get up. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I don't know what to say. Okay, just open the book. Psalm 47. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, you want us to praise you and get out of our comfort zone and our maybe shyness and lift our voices to you. Oh, you want me to tell this to your people? I got it. Okay, here you go. All right, good night, Lord. Obedience. I did it. You know, it was painstaking. I'm so tired. Sometimes I get up and the first words out of my mouth, why, Lord? Help me, Jesus, please. I'm a bad sleeper, but to get up, it's hard. Painstaking. You do it, right? So let's recap and see how we got it. I think we checked all of them, didn't we? What is faith? What do we need? How do we get it? And I'm almost going to do it. What do we need? How do we get it? All right, ready? How do we get it? Living Word of God. Why do we need it? To be saved.
To please Him.
Well, wait, let's just go through this thing like this. To be saved. Grace working through faith. Okay, it's coming up. We're going to do that. What else? To live. The just shall live by faith. We confess God. And finally, to please God, because we cannot please Him without faith. So there it is. We have checked all the boxes and we are good. But if we were good, oh, we're out of here. Excellent. But if we were good, why is it that we cannot move mountains or move the mountains in our lives that we've been struggling for years? It doesn't matter what it is. It could be addictions. It could be a bad attitude. It could be this. See this tongue? Small, rudder, moves everything. And that's a tough one. And I found that, and I fall to this as well. We think before we speak. We don't control our tongues. And we can bring down another brother or sister by the what we say or don't say, right? Well, not what we don't say, but what we say. Not knowing it may offend them. That's why James says that. You got to watch what you say. And sometimes what's in us comes out on someone else because we have not been able to move that mountain of whatever it is, disbelief, obviously, issues we go through with family, maybe, a past sin we did, whatever the case may be, you need to fill out that blank. And if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, good. That's a good thing. That's what we want. That's why we're listening to this. We want the Lord to illuminate that in us so we can get rid of it. That's the whole purpose of coming here. So, we still don't. So how do we do this? What are we missing that we have not been moving mountains? And we all have this idea, and we're probably right. It's the action. We're going to look at this. But before that, here's another thing I put in here that I totally forgot I put in. I put a lot of things. I took a lot out. So why can't we move the mountains? First, let's look at what Jesus says. Here's the number one reason. Jesus says in Luke 6, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" There's the root right there. I am a Christian. God is all about love. Hey, you're an idiot. I don't even want to talk to you. Praise you, Jesus. We praise you. What's that, James? With it, we bless God and curse man who was made in his image. And he's not talking about Christians. He's talking about everyone. Sorry, Lord. And we can all fill those blanks in with everything that we don't do when the Lord tells us to do. Again, James is a good book. What does he say? If you know the thing you should be doing and you don't, what does it become? A sin to you, missing the mark. Why do you call me Lord and don't do the things that I tell you to do? So how are you going to move a mountain if you're not listening to God? Bible says many will be saved by the skin of their teeth. And you don't want to be that person to be skin of the teeth. When you approach the bema seat of God for the reward, oh, I guess I don't got one. You should have did some more. And we're not saved by works, we know that. But if the Lord tells you to do it and you don't, how are you going to call him Lord? How are you going to grow? So he continues to say, "Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, he is like a man building a house. We are the house, who dug and laid the foundation on the rock. Jesus is the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat," here's that word that I don't,
vehemently.
Strongly.
Thank you. Strongly against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. That is so amazingly beautiful. Jesus is saying, if you do what I tell you to, you're founded on me, and you will not be shaken. But if you don't, Jesus is about to say, but he who hears, remember, you hear and do, and did nothing, is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat strongly, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, think about this. Any of you ever had backsliding issues in your life past? I have. I've had many. I've fallen away from God. Why was that? Well, I could come with all types of reasons, but the Lord just told me. And in fact, that's what it was. I was not doing what the Lord tells me to do. So of course you're going to backslide. Of course you're going to fall away. You're not doing what God tells you to. Of course you're not going to move mountains. Of course you're going to struggle with something the rest of your life that you should have overcome years and years ago. See, here in America, again, we're spoiled Christians. It's so easy for us to say, fire insurance, praise God, skin is enough for me, let me in. We think that now, but not when we meet Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and we're embarrassed. And there will be those. But he still lets us in. Why? That grace that splatters everyone. Because we believed in you, Jesus. And we all will give an account for every idle word we say as well. Man, Lord, I'm sorry, and I'm in trouble. But again, forgive us, Lord. Okay, I'll forget. Just stop doing it. And do what I tell you to do. So we see what the issue is right there. We don't do it. So how do we get to these things? What happens? How do we move mountains? 2 Peter 1 tells us, and we're going to read this, and, well, running fast again, as usual, I mean long. But he says here, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus. To those who have obtained, that's us, like precious fate, with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace multiply to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given, it's given to us all things that pertain, given us all things that pertain to what? Life and godliness. It's already ours. Through the knowledge of him. How does you get this? You have to have the knowledge of him who we claim, who called us by glory and virtue. You got to do that as well. By which have been given to us exceedingly a lot, great and precious promises. He gave us these promises. He gave us a bunch. But remember, there are times when promises are contingent upon something. I will do this. We're in a contract. No doubt about it. But you got to do what I say. Oh, man, that's tough. That's the problem. We don't see the promises because we don't do what God tells us to do. We expect him to give, and he did give. He gave us the grace, we believe. But it can't go any further if we're not following him. Why do you call me Lord and not do the things I do? You want the promises? Then follow me. These things we know. But yet it's different when we try to do it in real life. Precious promises. He goes on and says that through these you may be partakers in the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This thing right here, no good thing dwells in it other than the Holy Spirit that is given to me, so that I may see clearly what truth really is. And he goes on to say, but also for this reason, for this very reason, because you're partaking in this, giving all, here's that word again, diligence. Remember that word? You got to do it. Energetic effort. Add to your faith. Here's what we got to add to move these mountains. Virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. The end result of that is love, where there is no law. And he goes on to say, for if these things are yours and abundant, practicing it, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Knowledge, what he wants from you, how you should act, how you should be, what you should have, what you shouldn't have. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness. That's a bold statement right there. And has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Easy to forget when you're not practicing righteousness and what God wants. And you know, it's interesting because in order to develop faith in our lives, we have to develop the confidence in the capabilities he has given us. There are many times when we're Christians, we believe that we should be like this. Oh, praise Jesus, I'm a wicked sinner. I am wretched and no good. Nothing good dwells in me. I'm walking around, hey, brother, hey, do you want to know about Jesus? Here's a truelife.org card so you can be like me. Oh, thank you, Lord. Who's going to want to be that? None of us are, right? No, that's not what it is. We are Christ. We have confidence. We're able to be bold because of the power of the Spirit and what he's given us. And we're supposed to act that way. There is a fine line between confidence and arrogance, and you got to be careful on that. Confidence is me being up here, for example, and saying, Lord, you will speak. It is not I, and I trust in you. You've given me what I need. You called me to this. So you will give me the words to my mouth to speak. I trust in you, Lord. You know what? I'm going to walk confidently of who you are in my life. That is great. Praise you, God. Hey, brother and sister, you can be the same way as well. Now, here's the other one. Hey, guys. And I'm going to ask you a real question. Has any of this touched you right now? Am I speaking truth? Yeah. Amen. Thanks, because I am good. I mean, if I can kiss my own cheek, I would. But I can't. And I am so thankful to God that I am not a sinner. Here's biblical. Man, I'm good. I've been cleansed. I'm clean, and that's who I am. So now come over here and just give me some extra money because I deserve it. Now, I think you see arrogance right there working its ugly head, right? That's pretty arrogant. Apart from Christ, I can do nothing. I am no one. But knowing that Christ is in me, I am confident I can do all things, and I'm going to walk in that. Look at these gifts I have. We don't even know all the gifts we have until we use them. So once again, virtue, knowledge, and all the rest. Definition of virtue: conforming to a standard of right morality, a particular moral excellence. Knowledge: the fact or condition of knowing something would familiarly gain through experience or association. Being familiar with God, with Christ, with Jesus, with the Word, who He is in our life, the relationship. Self-control. We're all going to put our heads down to this one. Restraint exercised over one's own impulses, emotions, or desires. Oh, flesh. Oh, tongue. Oh, fist. When you drive and someone cuts you off and you get out of church, oh, praise God, I love you. Get you. Whoops, let me exercise that. Perseverance. Continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. Righteous fall, they rise up. It's difficult, Lord, but you gave me strength each day. Opposition. The one who is for me is stronger than the ones who are against me. God's got you covered. Godliness. The word godliness is divine. And it's relating to proceeding directly from God. You do all these things, you start becoming godly. You do the right thing. Brotherly kindness doesn't need to be mentioned. And love. So we got all those things, right? Or we got to get to those things. The end result is love. And he goes on to say, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Never stumble. Most of us don't know what it is to never stumble because we don't do all of the things the Bible tells us. That's why we stumble. Why do you call me Lord and not do what I tell you to? Do you not want to stumble? Then do all these things. And that's what he says right there. There it is. Okay. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Though you know and are established in the present truth, yes, I think it right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir up in you, to remind you, knowing that shortly I must put off the tent, just as the Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after I go away. And he was right. We're reading it right now. He's reminding us. And that's what we all do for each other. We hear this so many times, but we need a reminder because the flesh is weak, the spirit is willing. So we need that reminder. And these apostles are like us. They were men. Elijah, we know it says, he had a manner like us. Now, they heard the teaching of Jesus, but they also heard the Old Testament, which was the testament to them. And they're not saying anything that hasn't been passed down to them. Look at what David says in Psalm 15. He says, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly, he who works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart, he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his brother, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend or blames his friend, disgraces his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised. But he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change, meaning if I said it, I'm going to do it even if I lose. He who does not put out money for usury, take the money, I'm not going to charge you interest. Nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Luke, you'll never stumble. David, you'll never be moved. They're using the scriptures, and we forget that. They're practicing what they preached. They could have fell away just like the rest of us if they didn't keep in Christ. So we have virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness that leads to love, right? So I'm going to cut through this stuff because I really go far, and I am, but I need to bring in George Mueller. Because we could think this was 1,000 years ago. It can't be possible. We can't move mountains. We can't do all these things. Well, I'm going to talk to you about a guy right here who was able to do such a thing. His name is George Mueller. He was born 1805, died 1898. And through faith in God alone, he opened up an orphanage that was, I think, like maybe two blocks long or whatever. And he was able to house 10 or over 10,000 orphans, never asking for money or any kind of help from anyone. Only through prayer, he was provided everything he needed for the workers and the children more abundantly. In the end, before he died, the total that he got in today's money, without asking, just through prayer, was $200 million in today's time. He was able to send 5,000 pounds, which is the total of, man, what would it be today? I don't know, $20,000, $30,000, I don't know, a year, to missionaries around the world. You need to look up George Mueller. He is a present-day action of what the Scripture says, and he relied on the Lord amazingly. And I want to read just a little bit from that, out of his autobiography. And if you look him up, it's really good. And he talks about this. If I can, because I think I opened that page. You know what? I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to tell you about it. I lost it. Before I do that, I want to tell you this story again about Mueller. Him and a captain, he was on a preaching tour. So he had to go preach somewhere. And as he was going with the captain on the boat, many other people, a humongously thick, dense fog rolled in. And the captain said, "I'm sorry, Mr. Mueller, you're not going to make it to your preaching engagement." And George Mueller said, "I've never been late before, and the Lord's not going to allow me now. Do you have a place where we can pray?" So he said, "Mr. Mueller, I don't think you understand what type of fog this is." And he said, "Just let's go downstairs and pray." So he prayed a simple prayer. "Lord God, thank you. You're great. You're kind. I got to go preach, and I know you hear me. Thank you, Jesus, for answering me. Amen." And then the captain was like looking at him. He was about to pray, but George Mueller said, "Don't bother praying because you don't believe." And that's the truth. If you don't believe, why pray? Right? What does James again say? The person who asks must believe what they have, because if you don't, you're a double-minded person, unstable in all your ways. It's not going to be given to you. What sense? So he did it. I don't know how much time elapsed. They go upstairs, and what do you think happened? The fog lifted. The captain was in shock because he knew the sea. He knew there was no way that that fog should have lifted. You see what I'm saying? But it wasn't about what he knew. It was about who George Mueller knew and the faith he had in his God. That trumps what we see. We walk by faith, not by sight. And in this book that I just lost a page to, and I'm going to paraphrase what George Mueller says, and he basically said he learned what he needs to cling to is Christ, right? So what he said, it was always difficult for him to pray. In the morning, the first thing he would do is wake up and he would pray. He would be on his knees for about a half an hour to an hour and try to fight his mind wandering. Who has done that? Who still does that? Okay. He realized that the thing he needed to do first was to read the Word of God. In that, he was revived, restored, renewed. He was able to go through the day. He knew right from wrong. He knew what to pray for. Now, how do we know that? How do we know that we need to go to the Word first before we pray? Well, Jesus told us that. "Lord, teach us how to pray." You got it. And he goes through that. Without the Word, prayer is nothing. It could be used in the beginning. And he's not saying that you wouldn't pray. But you need the Word to teach you. And I notice in my own life, the more I read the Word, the more it starts sounding like the Bible I'm reading, whatever version it is. That's a good thing. And you remember it. "Oh, Heavenly Lord," there was a time when I was going through stuff, man, what was coming out of my mouth was like the Psalms. And my friend was like, "Wow, it sounds like you're quoting, is that the Psalms?" And I'm like, "No, I'm just dying inside." Because you're with the Lord and you're in His Word. And that's what He says. He needed that. And He says He rarely has issues with praying now. So the end result is doing what God wants you to, following that, letting that apply to your life. And if you don't remember anything that we said today, because I said a lot, and I went over, as I usually do sometimes, remember to follow Jesus. He says, "Follow me and He'll make you fishers." Yes, I know that. But you have to remember that. And again, today is Communion Sunday, and we're going